It doesn't matter that the old man went out there and stumbled and fumbled through it. It was adequate enough to the task. You have your usual suspects out there and the Parrot Press Corps that repeats and doesn't report out there doing what they do. And what is that?
Oh, he was so presidential. Oh, he was so wonderful. Oh, did you see how composed he was?
That's not a look of composure. That's a look of being dumbstruck. That's a look of being, you want, am I standing there? Right, what day is this? Is this today's Tuesday? It's almost like the scene from The Big Lebowski, when Philip Seymour Hoffman says something to Jeff Bridges, and Jeff Bridges, Tom Huddleston, the actual Big Lebowski, says something to Bridges, and Bridges goes, "Is this a work day? Is this Wednesday?" And he goes, "Well, I do work, Mr. Lebowski." So it was almost like that, but he did wander away from the podium at one point in time. There was no substantive answer that came because all the answers were already written down. The order of the reporters. This is something that Trump, that if Trump even would have attempted anything of the sort, and of course in Trump's many, many press conferences that he had, he would have a list of the people that were in the room, and you could see, especially for the shamdemic pressers, he would go down the list and he'd go, "Let's start with, I'm going to talk to you from One America News, Chanel." So he would actually have the cognizance to kind of know who they were and what room they were in and what news network they were from. But Trump was able to answer all the questions off the cuff and totally step outside the zone in which the question was supposedly X. As a matter of fact, I think we have here. This is what Trump said to Laura Ingraham last night.
And nobody's seen anything like it. You know it. You know it better than anybody. You cover it so well, and it's very sad to watch. Actually, they're feeding him questions. They're easy questions. I noticed Peter Ducey didn't get to ask a question today, and there could be no difficult questions. And they're ready to rip the microphone away if somebody did get a little bit testy. And, you know, he just, look, the whole thing is ridiculous. You know it, and so do I.
Well, where was there? Where was there, Jim Acosta?
So the whole thing is ridiculous. You know it, and I know they're ready to rip the mic. They did rip the mic. As a matter of fact, they had such a hair trigger on the reporter when they were handing the microphone in between reporters to make sure that no one could shout a question out like Peter Ducey or something that was off the script. They muted the mic. You can hear this. And do we have a clip? You have one you want to play? You want me to play it?
Of what?
Of Biden. Here, I've got one right here. Is this one where you can hear? Let me see.
Folks, I'm help solve the problem or make the situation better. But folks, I'm going. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
But folks, I'm going. But folks, I'm going. Reminds me of that line from the Blazing Saddles where it's, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm leaving. here's the one where you can hear. Let me play this. Okay. So this is the... you'll hear the microphone get muted. That's not me muting it. You'll hear complete and total dead air because they got a guy who's working a mixing board, and you've got the president's mic or the regime leader's mic, rather, and then you have whatever mic it is that they're passing around for the reporters to ask questions. You'll hear everything go mute because there is a moment of panic in the mixing room, and they're going like, oh, dear Lord, he's off script and the mic is open.
So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway. We're going to get a lot done. And if we have to, if there's complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
Okay. Hang on. Oh, Sangmin, Ms. Kim.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, you heard the mic mute in there for just a minute there. We have to go beyond this. If there has to be a lockdown or if there has to be this or that or the other or anything else that I'm talking about, what exactly are you talking about? The ridiculousness of asking him about the filibuster, he doesn't have a say in it. The Congress makes its own rules up. The Senate makes its own rules up. The Senate's been making its own rules up since 1791, since the first Senate convened. You know, there were pages and pages and pages of John Adams drawing little scribbles in his diary because he's sitting there as the president of the Senate, bored to tears, saying, why did I let them con me into taking this job? It's the worst job in the history of the, in the history of, he didn't say the world, he had the history of politics or something like that. If the Senate decides that it's going to undo the filibuster, well, that's what the Senate does it. Biden doesn't have a role in it. He can't veto it. He can't say, oh, I don't think you should do it. I don't think you should end the Senate filibuster rule or whatever. He has absolutely no rule in it or role in it whatsoever, other than he could send something, one of those executive orders over there and go, like, I want you guys to vote on this so I don't have to do this. And by a party line vote, 50-50, of course, you'll have the two traitors. By the by, here's what's happening at the unhealthy, inhuman disservices department of the regime. So on Tuesday, they confirmed Xavier Becerra, the most radical, extreme, pro-abort, pro-infanticide politician ever elected in the history of Earth. They confirmed this man to be the Secretary of Health and Inhuman Disservices. Now, it gets even worse than that because Becerra does not get confirmed because Emperor Hirohito from Hawaii is not there. She's not going to vote by Zoom. She's incapacitated for whatever reason. So Hirohito is not there. And so the vote is going to, it's tied at 49. Harris can't break that tie because that's not a majority tie. And so all Collins has to do is vote no, and it's over. 50-49, Becerra, as it should have happened, goes down in flames. Instead, Collins votes yes. And then, as I said, you get the most radical nutbag, pro-infanticide maniac to has ever held an elective office. Now you've appointed him, and now he gets to make policy rules for all your major hospitals. Change will all follow in lockstep and whatever this clown says, because that's the role that they play today, because he's basically in charge of making sure that all the Medicaid and Medicare rules are followed, and they will dictate the policy because they've reinstalled, they've undone all of Trump's executive orders that President Trump did, try and get rid of all the mandates and what have you from Obamacare, because Congress didn't have the stones to do it while they had a majority. Biden undid all of those, okay? Illegally and illegitimately, if you ask me, they're all undone. So Becerra comes in and starts imposing again like the little sisters of the poor. The little sisters of the poor got sued. Why? Because they wouldn't. They were like, we can't be buying contraceptives and paying for abortions for people that work for us. First of all, people that work for us shouldn't be having abortions to begin with and shouldn't be contracepting anything anyway. That rule came from HHS, came from Kathleen Sebelius under Obama. So Becerra will implement these immediately. Little Sisters of the Poor are going to get dragged right back into court. And then to add insult to injury, to anyone that has any fleeting belief that there's anything remotely possibly redeemable about this entity that's known as the as Mitt Romney calls it, the federal government, the one word federal government. If for anyone that has any just remote scatterbrained idea that there is something to save here and that our kids from the GOP are going to get in here in 2022. You're going to see they're going to get up there against Biden. Oh, you mean the ones that confirmed Becerra and then to add insult to injury. I don't want to broadcast this too loud to the storks and the penguins out there, whatever's in the pond. But Collins and Murkowski voted the next day to confirm Dick Levine. Miniature, you mean, Miniature, are you talking about Randall Levine from Pennsylvania? No, I don't call it him, Rachel. Dick Levine.